whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Are we excited about Jesus this morning? Can we stand to our feet and worship the Lord? Listen, I don't know about anybody else, but did anybody come in the need of something this morning? Did anybody come to seek the presence of God? You know, sometimes we're so afraid to ask the Lord what we need because we're so afraid that He might ruin it or it might go off the plans of us. But if our earthly parents, our earthly friends, our earthly siblings can give great gifts, can we only imagine what the Father in heaven can give to us? So this morning, I pray that you receive what you need from the Lord. Amen. I'm calling on the God of Jacob.
Yeah.
Whose love endures for generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of
Moses,
the one who opened up
the ocean.
I need you now to do the
same thing for me.
Same for me. We say, oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary. Rest upon the
glory.
Oh, I know with you all things are possible. And I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy
courageous.
Oh, I may not face Goliath, but I've got my old giants.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now.
How
I need you now.
Oh, 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 rock of ages.
Oh, rock, oh, rock of ages. I'm standing on your faithfulness.
We're standing on the faithfulness. We cry, my God. We cry, my God, my God. Power,
oh God, my God, I
we need,
need
your presence,
now.
Jesus.
How I need you now.
We call you rock of ages.
Oh, rock, oh, rock of ages.
We're standing,
I'm standing on your faithfulness.
Oh. Church, can we lift our hands all over this room? You heard your children. You hear your children now. You are the same.
Yeah, yeah.
You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God.
Yeah.
You are the same. You were providing.
You were providing.
And you're providing
you
now. For
you are the same.
For
you are the same.
You move in power now.
You move in power
now. children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You heard your children in. You hear us. You hear us now. He hears us now. He answered prayers back then. He's still answering right now. In this moment, he's still answering. Prayer after prayer. Request after request. He'll never leave you. Oh, Jesus, for you are the same God. Oh, a God who's consistent. A God who will never change. You are
the same God.
He's the God yesterday, today, and forever. Today, yesterday, and forever. Sing, you are.
You are the same God.
O Rock, O Rock of Ages, we're standing on your faithfulness. Sing, you are.
You are the same God.
Oh God, we need you. Every day and every hour, we need you, Jesus. You are
the same God.
We call you Savior, we call you Healer. You're a provider, you're a deliverer, God. You are
the same God.
Oh God, we need you. We need you. You are
the same God.
He'll never change his mind about you. He'll never change his love for you. Sing, you are
the same God.
We call you Jesus. We call you Jesus. You are
the same God.
The more we call you, the better we feel. The more we call you, the better we feel, God. The more we call you, the better we feel. Say,
you are the same God.
The more we call you, the better we feel. The more we call you, the better we feel, God. You are
the same God.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you. You are
the same God.
Oh rock of ages, we're standing on your faithfulness. You are
the same God.
You are the same God.
You are the same God.
Today and forever, you are. Forever and ever. Forever and ever, you are.
You are the same God.
Church, this morning, whatever it is you're carrying, whatever it is you brought in with you, we just want you to remember that he is still, come on, you are the same. So whatever it is this morning, I dare you to lift up your hands and stretch them toward heaven and remind yourself that the same God who kept you then is the same God who'll keep you now. The same God that covered you then is the same God that'll cover you now. The same God that healed you then is the same God that can heal you now. The same God.
You are the same God.
Forever and ever, say you are
the same God.
Forever and ever.
You are the same God.
Forever. eternity. Sing that out with us. You are
God,
forever and ever and ever, forever and ever and ever, forever. One more time, lift it up, say,
God,
forever, forever and ever. Yes, Lord. Forever and ever. You are the same God. Church, if you believe that He's the same God today, yesterday, and forever, can you lift up a praise to the same God, the consistent Father, the sufficient One, the Holy King, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, that God, the same God, the God who sees you, the God who carries you, the God who loves you, that Jesus, that Jesus, that Jesus. We bless your name this morning, oh God. You are worthy, God. You are sovereign and you are sacred, God. We honor you. Thank you, Jesus. We choose to trust in a consistent Lord. He's faithful. And the great thing about Him being the same is that He knows we change. But to still serve a God who sees you then, who sees you now, and sees you into eternity, that is all the more reason for us to trust in Him. Does anybody believe that this morning? Is anybody making the choice to trust in God? Father, we honor you. We choose to trust in you this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Mr. Core, I wish I could talk like you, brother. Good morning, church. We're going to sing this song again, but this is just as true the first time as it is now and as it will be later when we do it again.
Yeah.
And come up here this morning because I just feel like, you know, I'm not really good at talking to people. It's very nerve-wracking being up here, but, you know, the Lord is on your heart. He wants us to speak to y'all. We're not up here to entertain. We're up here to uplift His name. And in doing that, we know we're going to uplift you guys. And we also know that our His word does not come back void. We put it out, it comes back plentiful. There's so many people struggling out there right now, and I know that. And everybody's fighting battles, every single one of you. Fighting a battle, and I know too many people struggling with that right now, but I can see a big difference in the ones that trust God with it and the ones that don't. When you see that, knowing that, share it. Just share it with them, because they need that. They need you, and that's why we're here, so that we can learn that, so we know how to share that with them. That's the best thing. It's the best gift we can give. He didn't die for me, He didn't die for him and her, He died for you. Whether you scream it to the rafters or whether you whisper it, I can guarantee you He's going to hear it.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood.
Thank you, Jesus.
'Cause what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough.
Tell Him, God.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail.
Never fail you. Never fail you.
You.
He's there for all of us.
In God, my Savior, the one who will never fail.
No
none but God.
He will never fail.
Perfect submission. Gotta trust him. All is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. And everyone with me, praising our risen King and Savior all the day long. Yes, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Is that for each and every one of you? All your struggles and battles, he's fighting right beside you. Trust him. Yes, Lord.
My Savior, the one.
Thank you, Jesus. I fail so much.
He will never fail.
Not him. You guys believe that today, right? He will never fail you. He's walking with you. He sees everything you're going through. He's not going to take you out of that battle. He's not going to fight that battle for you completely. He's going to get in front of you, and he's going to make a way. He's going to pull you through it. He's going to give you something to follow that's going to help you through all the things that you're dealing with, all that pain, that heavy lifting you're doing. He's stronger than all of us. He's got it. Just let him have it. You can trust him with it. You just have to seek him. You just tell him.
I saw the Lord and he heard. He answered. I saw the Lord and he heard and he answered. I saw the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why you can trust him. I saw the Lord and he heard and he answered. I saw the Lord and he heard and he answered. I saw the Lord. And he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I saw the Lord, and he heard.
All you have to do is pray. He hears you. He's waiting for you to reach up so he can reach down and pull you up out of whatever you're in. He's there for you right now. Every day, every moment. Your troubles are not lost on him. Your prayers are not falling on deaf ears. He hears everything that you're going through and everything that you say to him. And you don't have to yell it. You don't have to tell everyone around you. You can whisper. You can talk from your heart to him. You can say, Lord, just help me through this. I trust you. I know no matter what I'm facing right now, you're going to make a way. You're going to get there. The light. He is the light, and guess where the light is? It's at the end of the tunnel. And he's gonna get you there. You can trust God. One more time, guys, trust in God.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Gonna fail you.
I trust in God.
Trust him, darling.
My Savior, the one.
Trust him with your battles. He's got you. Got you, guys.
We will never fail. I trust in God. My Savior, the one.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God.
That's why I trust in God,
my Savior, the one who will never fail.
He will never fail.
I trust in God,
my Savior.
Have you ever had somebody to let you down? Have you ever had somebody said, I will be there, and you get there, and they ain't there? I have too. And you feel discouraged. You feel let down. You feel lost. You think, what in the world? I trusted them, and they've let me down. But guess what? When we trust in God, He does not let us down. He does not fail us. But I can tell you this, He may not answer you the way you want Him to. He may not say or do the things that you feel like you want Him to do. But in His timing and in His perfect will, He will show up and He will not fail you. How many times, raise your hand, if you have called on God and He has not failed you yet? How many times has He been there for you? Hundreds, thousands, multiple times. Daily He's there. But guess what? He's not there if you don't ask Him to be there. He's not there if you're not close enough to have that relationship with Him. He's there waiting to hear you say, I cannot do this alone.
Amen.
I need you, God. I need you, God, now. Right now. Is there anybody out there that might feel like they need God to do something right now?
Every day.
Yes. Yes. Plenty of things. We have sicknesses in our lives. We have challenges with relationships. We have financial burdens. We have the distress and frustrations of life in general, of raising our kids, of supporting them through their new adventures. And sometimes it gets overwhelming, doesn't it? So let's call on God today. Team, I want you to begin to sing that again. Father, we call on you because in a crowd this big, we have needs. Individually, Lord, we have needs. Lord, we come to you. We ask, Lord, that you would allow us to feel your presence stronger than ever before. That you would allow us to hear your voice stronger than ever before. Lord, that you would direct our paths. And Lord, that we would trust you more than we ever have before. That we would put our whole trust and our whole faith in you. Father, we thank you, Lord, that there are healings taking place right now. There are deliverances right now. There are provisions on the backside that they don't know about right now. And Lord, we come to you and we just ask, Lord, individually and as a body of Christ, Lord, touch these people. Bring wholeness. Bring life. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Father. We give you praise. We give you honor.
My Savior, the one.
this week seeing people hit Facebook, Carpenter Shop Facebook, saying, you know what? Sunday I prayed and Monday this happened. Yeah. Sunday I prayed and Wednesday this happened.
Yes.
Sunday I prayed and by the time I got home, I want you to hit Carpenter Shop Facebook page with your testimonies. You know what? We are overcome by the word and the word of our testimonies.
Yeah.
When you say what God has done for you, you are overcoming and you are taking a step toward God, but in faith. And guess what else? You're encouraging other people. You know what? If God did it for her, He can do it for me. Amen. So I look forward to hearing those testimonies. I look forward to reading those testimonies. So good to be with you today. Carpenter Shop Church, we love you. Amen. How many of you missed Pastor this week? I know, but wasn't it fun to kind of keep up with him on social media to just see what he was doing and what he was experiencing? And he only showed us just a portion because that's all he could show us at the time. But wasn't it neat that across the world he was able to connect with us? Amen. We have a lot of things coming up this week, and we don't want you to miss them. Wednesday night, we have a new ladies Bible study. You do not want to miss it. Faithful. So make sure you're here Wednesday night. You can contact Stacy or look on the Carpenter Shop website page and find out what book you need to order. It only takes like 2 days from Amazon. So you'll have it in plenty of time. Also, we have our teens upcoming conference is November the 3rd and 4th, but you just can't show up November the 3rd or 4th. You have to register, and you have to pay half of the fee that's involved before the 8th of October. So make sure that you contact Patricia or Corey or Anoli. Get your form, get the information. You want to be there for this. It's going to be great. And it's just the youth convention is going to be at Cross Assembly in Raleigh. So it's November the 3rd and 4th. Moms, dads, get out your calendars, write it down, put it in there because you want your kids to go. It's always a blessing to combine with our region and have our teens encouraged, uplifted, taught, learn new things, and meet new people. All right. It's so good to have y'all back today. I missed last Sunday. Did y'all miss me? Look around. See if there's somebody that usually sits near you and they're not here. Contact them this week. Let them know. I missed you. I noticed you weren't there. Hope things are going well. You know, sometimes we're out of town. Sometimes we're ministering to other places. Sometimes pastor is out of the country. But the connection is always there when we come back together. You know, there's those old friends that you haven't seen each other in a long time. But when you see each other, you start right back up where you left off. And that's kind of the way we are as family here at Carpenter Shop Church. We might miss a Sunday, but when we get back, we just in there just finding out all the new information and finding out all the new faces. And we're just making those connections, feeling right back at home, right where we left off. We're so glad you're here today. We look forward to what God is doing in our youth, in our women's ministries, in our men's ministries, on Wednesday night Bible studies. At this time, we're going to bring our tithes, offerings, our gifts to the front. We have buckets up front, and we look forward to all that God is doing through those.
Jesus Christ, He is our one desire. Someone mentioned earlier, for those that don't have Jesus, that don't know Him, that don't have that personal relationship, hard times, all these struggles alone. And yes, you have friends, you have family. Even though they love you, they're not going to be there.
Jesus Christ.
going through life without him is hard. It's hard anyway. But knowing that you have someone, a father that is never, ever going to leave you, it makes it all better. It makes it all better.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, come on, give the Lord praise this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know if any of you watched growing up in your days, The Wizard of Oz. Can I just tell you, Dorothy was right. There's no place like home. Come on. No place like home. But I do attest to the fact that no matter where you go, Jesus Christ is the same. Amen. He's the same. It seems he has more work to do in some places over others. I was away enough and in a strange land enough to know that God has truly blessed America. Yes. He's truly blessed America. And the sad reality is the church has become complacent. I said the church has become complacent, comfortable. I found myself referring to the various comments and even rebukes that the Lord made on the church in the book of Revelation. Seems how some way I got stuck on that section where he says, you are rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. But I say that you're poor, miserable, and blind, naked. And I find myself in these past several days just trying to somehow identify with the download that the Lord gave me on my journey to Pakistan. I think I'll be a while really understanding all that God's trying to say. But I want to share with you a few things this morning, and I will tell you that I'll share a few things in the coming weeks. I can't share with you everything in a session. I can say I love you as a pastor, I do. And getting away from home sometimes gives you a little different perspective of home. And so, Father, I just pray today that you would help us. I pray for those that are watching, Lord, in other nations. I pray for the people of Pakistan that even those that are watching today, Lord, would be reminded of your power, your strength, your love, your unending love for them. A nation that faces tremendous conflict as only 2%, 2 out of 100, profess Jesus, and the rest are against them. The rest will war against them. The rest will fight against them. The rest will persecute them, even as they're doing now, burning their homes and burning their churches and burning their Bibles and attacking their people. Lord, I pray for this nation. Do what you desire to do, not just there, but all over the earth. And help us to come to the reality that in this nation, God, we need to be aware that time is short. And that we must be about the Father's business. He's trusted us with the gospel. Help us not to be lazy with it. Help us not to be casual with it. Help us not to miss the opportunity that God has given us. For we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And he's called us to be a city on a hill. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God and the ministry of Jesus then and now. The ministry of Jesus then and now. Thank you, Ken and Rebecca. These two guys right here showed up this morning. They're friends of ours and was an intercessor, part of that intercessory team while we were away, and supported the trip. Thank you, all of you that supported our efforts to go to Pakistan, and also prayers. I value that deeply, I promise you. Pastor Frank, Brenda, welcome. God bless you guys. Moved to Edenton, North Carolina. Somehow or another, in God's providence, said they felt that God had uniquely positioned them to come to Carpenter Shop. Imagine that, from the state of Virginia. And we'll be hearing from them as the weeks and months move along here. Pray for them. Pray for their effectiveness in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. The ministry of Jesus then and now. The Gospels in the New Testament record the public ministry of Jesus. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you get a big idea of what Jesus was about. In fact, in just a few weeks, we'll jump on a plane again. I think I've had all the planes I want for a while. But I'll jump on a plane again and go into that region. When we get to Israel, we always go to Galilee first. This will be my 15th time, and I don't ever get tired of it, because I always learn more every time I go. Landing in the Galilee area, you get to come face to face with those places that Jesus did so many things. It records his public ministry. Matthew says in chapter 4, verses 23 to 25, Matthew says this. He says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Think about that. Nothing was too difficult for Jesus. He healed them all. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering from severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, and Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. John, in his Gospel, chapter 2, records the very first miracle that Jesus did. And amazing that Jesus began to manifest not natural things, but supernatural things. Things became a little frantic at the wedding, Cana of Galilee, and the wine ran out. But Jesus simply instructed them, take these six large water pots and fill them up. And he turned them into wine. Verse 11 says, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Then in John 4, Jesus was asked to come by and pray for a nobleman's son, and the Bible says he healed the boy. Then in Luke chapter 5, I'm just spotting around the Gospels here. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus connects with the disciples on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and those guys had fished all night long and caught nothing. You remember the story. But Luke 5, look at 5 to 11. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, we'll let down the nets. I mean, think about it. These guys were weary and tired. They fished all night. And after you get in from fishing, you have to mend the nets and clean the nets. It's not over with. They stretch those things out and repair places that got torn and clean places up. And Jesus comes along and says, hey, cast out your net for a big catch. They don't want to hear that. These are fishermen. They know their trade. But because you say so, I will let down the nets, Peter said. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Somebody say Jesus, okay? When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at his Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people. Okay? From now on, you're going to fish for people. In other words, Jesus was showing these guys what you just saw happen is going to happen now, but for a different cause. It's for the souls of men. I'm going to give you a catch. And guess what? He's still catching them. He is. He's still bringing in people to his kingdom. So they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and followed him. I love the pointed direction here. They didn't play around with this. They left everything and followed him. My question for you is, have you left everything? Is there anything you're still holding on to that holds you back from being the best example of a follower of Christ you can possibly be? In Mark 1, Jesus cast out an evil spirit out of a man, and then he healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. So there's multiple things I'm just mentioning, kind of a variety of things that Jesus did. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 42, the Bible says this man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. He says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. He says, I'm willing. And he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. He didn't sign up for 10 weeks of therapy. He didn't go to a scratch and itch clinic. He didn't go to any of that stuff. The Bible says immediately. I want to ask you today, do you still believe that Jesus does things immediately? Amen? He does. He does. You say, well, I've been praying for a long time and I hadn't got healed yet. Well, keep on praying. Sometimes some things take a while. And some things are not always instant. Sometimes they're progressive. So we have all these miracles taking place as Jesus does ministry in the Galilee area. He heals, he casts out evil spirits, he defies the natural with the supernatural. In fact, John 21 verse 25 says this, I love it. It says, Jesus did many other things as well. Out of all that you've reading in the Gospels, John purposes to tell you, Jesus did so many other things as well. In fact, he says, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written about what Jesus did. We have a tendency to think that when he fed the multitudes with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, that was like a one-time deal. No, Jesus did this over and over again. It wasn't just a one-time thing. Healing for someone wasn't just a one-time thing. He did multiple things over and over and over again. Then we come to a place where there's a transition in what Jesus is talking about in his ministry plans. And after his resurrection, he tells his disciples, I must go away. I must go away. It's expedient that I go, one translation says. Must have created a deep sense of insecurity among those guys to think that you have the blind man healer, the one who can heal leprosy at his word, just like that, that he's among you for a score of just a few years, and then all of a sudden he says, I'm out of here. It must have created a deep sense of troubledness for people. Because John 14 has Jesus telling them to not allow their hearts to be troubled. He says, I'm going to prepare a place. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world gives unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. Luke 24:49, he says, I am going away, but I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. You've read the story. John 14, verse 12. Jesus gives assurance that his ministry will not end. What you've seen happen on the earth, you will continue to see, because he says, very truly I tell you, John 14, 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, how many of you believe in Jesus? Whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. When's the last time you laid your hands on the sick and saw them recover? When's the last time you cast out an evil spirit? He said, the things that you've seen me do, you'll do. And not only that, you'll do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. I like Mark's version of the commission that Jesus gives on the seashore. It's recorded in Mark 16, verses 15 to 20. He said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, the evangelion, to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and set at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out, look at what it says here, and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. That's what we should be seeing today. That's what we should be experiencing in our lives. You're not coming to church this morning to hear me again. You're not coming to, oh, I'm so glad pastor's back. I'm glad you're glad I'm back. But you shouldn't make the highlight of your church experience to hear another message from your pastor. You should want to become equipped to do the work of the ministry. That's what God is waiting for. He is earnestly waiting for our hearts to be so moved with compassion to do the will of the Father. That's what he wants. Man, this town is so small. 5,000 people. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of hearing about shootings at Duck Through and shootings at Walmart. This town is too small for a church of the Lord Jesus Christ not to take it by storm. We should be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and bringing those savages into the church every week of our life. Yet we just come sometimes like it's a duty, it's an obligation. This is a biblical plan. This Jesus ministered in the power of the Spirit, and he leaves the earth, and he later sends the Spirit back that we might be empowered and equipped to do the work of the ministry. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says what? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth, even as far down as Ahoski. Okay? You'll be witnesses. That word is, I love that word. You'll be witnesses, martyrs, really. But in the original language, he says you'll receive power. You'll receive dunamis. It's a word that is translated dynamics, or better yet, mighty works. Mighty works. I want to share with you just a few things that, as I reflect on Pakistan this morning. Number one, the ministry is marked by salvations. That's a very uncomfortable place to be standing with 40,000 human beings sitting on the ground in front of you. That's the most threatening platform I've ever preached on in my life. And when you look across the front, you see the blind, the maimed. I saw people with goiters as big as a softball staring at me, right down in front of me. I saw a person with a full arm on the left side, and at the shoulder, the hand was sticking out right here at the top. Totally deformed people. You didn't have to have discernment to see needs. You just look. I saw blind people. I saw people that were there for the wrong reason to make a mockery out of what we were doing. Ministry in Jesus' life and ministry in our life should be marked by salvations. Mark chapter 16, verse 15-16, he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. I'm thankful that in this church in 2023, we have experienced 79 decisions for Christ at Carpenter Shop Church this year. I'm thankful for that. But I don't see that as some big trophy to wave. We've baptized 57 of them. And I thank God for that. But there's so much need for the power of the gospel for the salvation of this region. Evil abounds. Drugs, violence, shootings. People need Jesus. And Jesus is the only answer for the ills of this world. And God expects you to be about the Father's business of winning the lost to Christ, building relationships with people, getting into their world, the people that you work with, and then sharing with them what Christ ultimately did for you, and invite them to turn their lives over to Him. This past week, I had the privilege of sharing this gospel on the single largest platform that I've ever preached on, and it was quite disturbing. When I showed up there, I felt so inadequate. But I found that the Holy Spirit's anointing was so faithful. He was so faithful. The masses gathered. They were so hungry for what Jesus had to offer them. Not only in the mass gathering, but even in the smaller settings. I enjoyed preaching in the smaller settings better. The smallest crowd I preached to was probably 2,000. I had some training time with pastors. I loved that. 2 days we trained pastors and shared with them what we felt was important in these days in which we live as ministers of the gospel. Things like character, confidence, competence, connectedness, all these things. And I enjoyed those things. And I also had the privilege of leading 4 Muslim slaves to Jesus on the backside of a brick factory. 4 Muslims who were afraid to make the decision, looking over their shoulders and looking to see if anybody was watching, led them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's hard to lead a Muslim to Jesus, but the Holy Spirit directed me, and I said, listen, I've read your holy book. I said, I bought a copy of your holy book, paid $3 for it. He said to me, you got a Quran? I said, yeah, I read the Quran. And I said, one thing I saw in the Quran that was interesting to me, the Quran says that Jesus was a prophet. And he said, yes, yes, it does. It does say that Jesus was a prophet. I said, do you know anything the prophet said? He said, no. I said, well, that's where my holy book comes in. My holy book tells you what the prophet said. Do you want to hear what the prophet said? The prophet said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. The prophet said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The prophet said so many things. Don't you want to give your life to this prophet? They looked to the right and to the left, and finally one of them had the boldness to nod his head yes. And I led 4 Muslims to Jesus on the backside of a slave camp. Simple gospel truth. Simple gospel truth. I wouldn't have known how to do it unless the Holy Spirit quickened me just like that. I paid $3 for a Quran between Amman, Jordan, and Petra many, many years ago. And found that in the Quran it does say that Jesus was a prophet. Not only is ministry marked by salvations, ministry is marked by deliverance. Mark 16, verse 17, first part. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. In this nation of Pakistan, there are only 2% Christians. Out of every 100, there's only 2 that believe in Jesus. So it's commonplace to see the work of the adversary at work. At this crusade, there were many who were demon-possessed. Their bodies in a work. This lady on the left-hand side was brought up to the platform in front of me. And she moved around like a violent animal. And now you didn't have to say, well, I wonder if she's demon-possessed. I mean, it was no doubt she was possessed by a devil. Couldn't hardly get near her, but finally got down in her face. And here's my hand on this side over here where I finally, after about 12 minutes of ministering to her, Jesus, 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 over and over and over again, set her free, Lord. The name of Jesus. You said in your word, God, Jesus. And there's a holy peace came over her life, and she began to smile. And I watched the lady go from darkness to light right before my very eyes. He still sets people free. In America, people play with demons. Some of you may be playing with demons. In America, people sit at home and play with their demons. They pull them up on websites that they don't belong to. And so you cannot play with demonic things. You need to cast those things down. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, take authority over it, as Paul said, and cast it down. We've been given that power. It was such a beautiful thing to finally see this lady's whole countenance change. So many people there that were possessed by devils. Third mark of ministry is spirit baptisms. I never witnessed anything like this before. To see, I'm already in a country where everybody speaks in tongues, because I'm the only one here speaking English, and every language is a tongue to me. But it's amazing when you see multitudes of people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit just like that, and the Holy Spirit just come in and take over, and they speak a language they've never learned. Saw hundreds, literally hundreds of people filled with the Holy Ghost at just a moment. Pastor Kim Norris prayed over the multitude, and the power of God swept over that crowd like I've never experienced before. Hunger is the key. Hunger is the key, the ingredient to getting anything accomplished for the kingdom of God. Jesus said this. He said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, he said what? They shall be filled. The fourth mark of ministry is divine protection. Now, don't let this upset you. This is Tiger. He stayed with me all the time, and I was glad, okay? He was one of seven men who were armed like this. They watched us sleep. They watched us eat. They went with us to the bathroom. They did everything. When you say, hey, Pastor, I'm praying for you, I promise you, God had a battalion of men on the other side that he would use as his agents. This church that I ministered for is licensed in the community, in the nation, to carry AK-47s to guard all their guests. When you go to church there on a Sunday morning, you don't come in a door like you do in a door and say, hey, good morning, how's it going? No, we went under the church and came up in an elevator. Our car was parked underneath the church with steel gates closed and guards standing at the gates. And when we were preaching at the crusade that night, in the far right-hand side, a disruption broke out that was horrible. And hundreds of people just began to flock to that crowd as Muslims had staged a riot in the middle of our crusade. And authorities were on it just like that. They came to the office the next day and told us they found the source of the problem, and they were bringing charges against the people who disrupted. But they also needed to let the pastor know that there were threats that were made on the lives of those who serve with him. You know, just informing. You say, well, Pastor, why guns? Well, talk to Jesus. He had disciples who carried swords. Okay? Remember Peter when he pulled it. And if you cut a man's ear off, what were you going for? His head. Peter was going for the man's head. Okay? So thank God for practical protection, but thank God even greater for divine protection. He says, I'll send my angels to give a charge over you. God protects. And I thank God for the prayers of people to say, hey, protect Pastor, watch over him, keep him safe. But then I also thank God for guys like Tiger, too. It kind of gives you a reminder, hey, you're all right, okay? You're okay. There also, the night we got to the crusade spot, we're out in the middle of nowhere, man. I don't even see how 40,000 people can make it to this area. Majority of them walked. Buses were rented, and people came in on buses, and the road that we traveled into to get to the platform, we came up on the backside of this platform, and they drove us right up to the platform, or tried to, but when we got to the area that led right to the platform, Muslims had gone out there with shovels and dug a 4-foot trench across the road so that we couldn't pass. And it was pitch dark, and if we hadn't had guards in front of us, who all of a sudden just started going like this, we would have traveled right through that pass and went down into that 4-foot ravine head first. They were trying to wreck us before we got there. And we had divine protection because we had people before us that were doing their job, making sure that they were looking out for God's people. Divine protection. Thank God for it. The fifth mark of ministry, according to the Gospel of Mark, in the life of Jesus and in our lives as well, is marked by healings. Healings. Mark 16, the second part of verse of 18 says this, and they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. I said they will place their hands on sick people and they'll get well. I laid my hands on myself this morning because I'm still not back to where I should be. 24 hours in the air on the day that I came back is too much in an airplane. And so this morning I found myself at 4:00 in the morning saying, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just cursed this thing that's making me feel miserable today. believing God to totally restore me to where I was before I left, okay? I can tell you this, a plane trip to Pakistan, it makes a trip to Israel look like a cakewalk. I'm telling you, it's quite a journey. It was marked by healings. I watched as this gentleman right here brought this teenage boy up on the platform in front of me. And when I looked at him coming through the crowd, and he came up on the end of the platform, the boy was limp and he was just held like a sack of potatoes. And the interpreter was standing there interpreting for him, and he said, "My friend has no muscles." I said, "What?" He said, "My friend has no muscles. He can't do anything. He has no muscles. He can't do anything." And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Tell him to stand him up." I said, "Lord, he said he didn't have any muscles." And the Lord said, "I said, tell him to stand up." And I said, "Stand him up." And he said, "He doesn't have any muscles." I said, "Stand him up." He said, "He doesn't have any muscles." I said, "In the name of Jesus, stand him up." And he put that boy on his feet. And through the working of miracles, I paced back and forth with this young man for 10 minutes with thousands of people looking on. And he wobbled and he wobbled and he wobbled. And the more he wobbled, the less he wobbled, if you follow what I'm saying. And I told that family, I said, "Listen, you walk this man every day of his life. Don't you settle for nothing less than his divine ability to walk." God's word is true. Some people say, "Well, man, how come God does stuff like that in these countries and we don't see that much of it in America?" Can I just tell you, they don't have anything else. They don't have anything but dependence on God. And faith is the ultimate answer. They're trusting in God. God did disappoint me. I didn't put a picture up here for you to see, but right, I told you earlier, right in front of me, right in front of the stand that I was preaching, there was a man who was leaning over to me the whole time, and he was motioning, come to me, come to me. And right at his neck, he had a softball-sized goiter, and he was just staring at me. He was pointing like I didn't see it. And I laid my hands, I got down, and I laid my hands on that goiter, and it didn't go away. I said, "God, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Can't you see? You know, you don't always get your way, okay? And I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I said, God, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little disappointed. You did all these other things. We cast out devils. We saw people walk. I saw eyes that didn't have eyeballs in them begin to flutter and flash, and people trying their best to open their eyes to see. I said, God, why didn't you shrink that man's goiter, that tumor?" And God didn't say anything back to me. I don't know why, but I wasn't the only one. Others went over to him and grabbed that goiter and filled their whole hand. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I curse this. And I'm told that he's a regular when the Crusades come. He will settle for nothing less but front and center. Can I just tell you, one day, God is going to touch that man and that goiter is going to go away. Amen. Why not then? I don't know. But I saw the look of desperation in this young man's face. Such a joy to see him wobble away from that platform that night. Let me close by saying this. Mark 16, verse 20. Then the disciples went out. I love this. And preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them. And the Lord confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Can I just tell you, God wants you and God wants me to be about the business of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will confirm with salvations, with deliverance, with divine protection, with spirit baptisms, and with divine healings. It's time for us to speak Jesus. You know, I don't like nosy people. Somebody said there was a shooting at Duck Through. You heard anything about it? Some people just like to be nosy. How about if you took that same energy and fell on your face in your house and said, God, would you spare our city from this kind of behavior? Some people are just interested in where the fire truck's going, that's all. If you took that passion and converted it to burden for a lost and a dying society that desperately needs the sovereign touch of God upon their life, you would see a difference. I believe God wants to move today. I'm going to ask ministers if you would come and just stand across the front. My altar call today is twofold. All the ministers, if you would, just come. Prayer team members, just stand across the front. Some of you may be here today and you may need the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're here and you know that you're not living in a situation where you're truly trusting and relying on God. Some of you may be here and maybe you wandered away from faith in God. Or maybe you're just not nurturing the faith the way you know God wants you to. And there may be some of you here that say, hey, Pastor, I'll be honest with you, man. I'm struggling with a demon. It visits me all the time. I have a desire for pornography, or I have a desire for alcohol. I have a desire, whatever. Can I just tell you the root of that? It's demonic. It's demonic. Pastor, I have bad thoughts. What's the root of that? Demons attacking you. And you just say, I'm tired of that. I don't want to be freed from that. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to come for that. But maybe the rest of you, maybe some of you are coming today because you say, Pastor, what you shared today causes me to hunger and thirst for God to do things through me. I want to be a minister of the gospel, trusted to go out and proclaim the good news with people and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit like I never have before. I want to tell you, God wants that too. He wants that too. So let's stand together, and as we sing this morning, for whatever reason that you need to come and get in His presence, please come. For whatever reason that God is speaking to your heart today, please come. For whatever reason. For whatever reason. Need some more help here at the altar. Ken and Rebecca, why don't you come and help us here? Help us here. Come on, just worship God with me this morning.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Come on, don't sit in your seat. Come. There's a reason why every one of us should be here this morning. Come receive a prayer for empowerment. Receive a prayer for the ability, the equipping of God to do incredible things in your life. Come and ask the Lord for a burden today for the lost. Just come.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. So every dark addiction starts to break.
Yeah.
Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows, burn like the fire.
right. Come on down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness. For every Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streams, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus, your name is power, your name is healing, your name is mine. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows.
Oh,
this morning that I thank God for people that are pressing in. Pressing in. Thank God for people pressing in and saying, you know what, this is what I'm experiencing and I don't want to experience this anymore. There, listen, demonic spirits are real, okay? And I'm telling you, some of y'all are playing with them like they're your pets. You pull it out on occasion and you put it back and I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm telling you, I'm talking to people in real life. You pull it out and you play with it and you say, well, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. You come to church and you get under conviction. You say, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then you go along for a while and you're okay. Then all of a sudden you play with it again. That's a prescription for destruction. What you have to want is complete. Somebody say complete. Complete and total deliverance. Complete. That's why I tell you from this pulpit, some of you can't handle a glass of wine at Christmas. You can't, because you're an alcoholic, okay? Some of you just can't say, well, I just had a beer at the baseball tournament. You can't do that, because you can't handle it. And some of you just think, well, you know, I wish he wouldn't say stuff like that. I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for saying anything like that. Because I'm doing my dead level best to warn you and keep you from destruction. That's all. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Come on, give him praise for full life today. Full life today. Full life today. Hallelujah. Shout Jesus. Come on, shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the stream, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I'll sing the holy name. Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the stream, Jesus in the darkness over.
Different various things that the Lord allowed me to see while I was in Pakistan. There's no way I can give it to you in a Sunday. Next week I'll talk to you about the greatest example of modern day slavery I've ever seen in my life. Remember me telling you I led 4 Muslims to Jesus in the middle of a slave camp. I had the, I hate to say privilege, I had the occasion to visit a modern day slave camp where whole families, mom, dad, children, are all slaves. I had the opportunity to peer into what their life is like. And I'm going to show you that next week. You know, slavery's not a new thing. Egyptian slavery in the Bible, the awful slavery that we experienced here in this country against African Americans. Can I just tell you, slavery's still alive. It's still alive. And I witnessed with my own eyes. It broke my heart. I could hardly bear it to see families trapped for for their life. I spoke to one man. I said, how long have you been here? How long have you been a slave? And he'd been there for 46 years. And he has zero hope of getting out. The minister that I'm working with, which is, we're on television over there, and it was surprising to me, really surprising to me, to walk into a hotel and as a foreigner, and somebody walk up to me and say, I know you. And I said, well, you don't know me, man. I'm from America. No, you're on television. We watch you here all the time. And I saw the fruit of what we've invested in a country. Somebody hollered something out to me. I said, what is he hollering out to me? He said, celebrity, celebrity. I said, man, come on. They saw me as someone who was somebody. And God took me to that land and allowed me to see their world. And I don't doubt one bit sowing in. Some of you support our TV ministry, and I thank God for the money that you give that keeps us on the air. Because you're touching a nation, again, that's only 2% Christian. And to be there firsthand and to see for myself the area which seems to be the hottest for us is Pakistan. And it was an incredible journey. I'll take you on a journey next week of modern-day slavery. It will break your heart. And hopefully share some video footage with you from these families. And we have the ability to partner with the pastor on the ground there. And he has received favor from God to work with the government to buy families out one at a time, find out what their debt is, and pay their debt out and set these families free. I talked to one family that Pastor Kim Norris and his church had set free from slavery just a few months ago, to hear what life is like for them on the outside versus what all those years was on the inside. And it's an incredible, incredible journey. Don't miss next week, I promise you. It'll be an incredible story you'll never forget, and you'll see it with your own eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for salvation, Lord. I thank you for the work on the cross that you have done in the lives of these your people, that you've done in my heart. God, I pray that you would ignite a fire in us that would cause us to make a difference in our own Pakistan, our own community. Help us, Lord, to share the gospel. Help us to live a clean life. Help us to live a pure life. Help us to take authority over things that try to come in and ruin our walk with you. And God, calls us to be empowered by your Spirit that we might touch a community, a region, a state, and even our nation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. God love you.